you've let us be part of your privilege of serving in Latin America. First started off serving in Paraguay, in Chile, Colombia, Mexico City, and now in southern Mexico. Thank you. Thank you, Casilo. We really appreciate it. I think there's exciting times in life that we run into and different stages of life that we take. And as I shared in Sunday school class, I was really encouraged by a message that a friend of mine said, really, your productive years are between 60 and 80 years of age are the most productive years of your life. I go, what? Everybody's kind of saying, hey, you know, you're supposed to be tailing off, should be a little less of this going on. And it's contrary as it comes on. And he starts sharing in it, saying, you know, most senior pastors in churches are over 60 years of age. Presidents of the United States have been mostly over 60 years of age. Presidents in countries, other countries, are over 60 years of age, usually 65 to 70 years of age. As you look at it, even some going on in their 70s as it goes on. Presidents of businesses have been as well. More things are accomplished in these latter years. And, you know, it's not different. How old was Moses when he finally got up and led the children of Israel out? He was 80 years of age. You know, hey, we can be old and still do a lot, right? You know, it goes on. So there's exciting things in each stage of life. And I really appreciate that. You know, God doesn't say, slow down, stop. Remember, we were up here 3 years ago. I think it was 3 years ago. And Barb says, well, we started praying the Jabez prayer. Barb, what are you doing? We're supposed to be tailing down. Jabez says, expand your territory, you know. God, give me more. Give me wisdom to be better than what I am. And that's been our prayer. And I hope it's your prayer too. Hope you don't say, well, it's time to tail off. No, it's more exciting as things go on. Your energy levels maybe aren't quite the same. But the wisdom that God has given us, you know, is a way to continue to expand and work. Discipleship becomes stronger. Because in one way, we're forced to do it. You know, I've always had 2 Timothy 2:2 in my mind. You know, they find people that are great to be able to share with others as well. But at the same time, now you're starting to not lift up the heavy objects, find another guy to help you lift it up, although you could probably still do it, no problem. You can't run as fast as the other guy. I learned that in soccer quite a few years ago, that when the guy gets the ball, I got to get him right then and hit him hard, because if he turns, he's gone, and I'll never catch up to him, you know. So some of these things take place as you play, you know, you do things, you start realizing, you know, I've got to be a little wiser in the way of doing things, you know. So the grunt aspect kind of loses a little bit behind, and more the wisdom comes in. And I think that's why God uses this as productive stages of life. And I appreciate it. Chuck, would you come and read? There's a passage of Scripture I want to share with you today. It comes out of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 to 21, and it'll be the basis of my sharing with you today. Romans 10, 6 through 21. What a tremendous passage of Scripture God uses, the apostle sharing this to. If you want to look up your Bible, Romans 10, verse 6 to 21. I was thinking of reading it together, but go ahead.
Not here. Of course they did. Their voice is gone out. concerning Israel, he said, all day long, I have held out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people.
Wow, what a great passage of Scripture. What a passage of Scripture that makes us start focusing on what's important. As I shared down below, you know, COVID has hit Mexico. I think we're running maybe second or third. You know, they always talk about more deaths taking place in the United States, in the world. Other ones is Mexico. We're right behind. But it's been a time of sharing the Lord that's exciting. People are looking for hope. And who has it? We do. We've got that hope. We got that thing that I remember always when they talked about eternity. And they say, okay, put your life. How long do you get to live? Okay, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years. New lady, 105 years of age. She had buried all her kids. They didn't die young. They died at 70, 80, 90 years of age. She was 105. Okay, but compared to eternity, how much is that? Barely a little scratch on that line. And yet we for this life and we forget the other life, and that we can start laying foundations and sharing the message of the Lord in this life with others. And it's exciting. It's not a time. Yes, COVID hit. In our town, the old cemetery had to make a new one. It was getting full too fast. There's no more places to put people. In our type of culture in which it is, you know, kind of sometimes death is the end. And they mourn them for a week every night, and then they mourn them basically every month, every year. There's a feeling like the beginning of November, the dead come back, see the people, and they light the candles. Wow, it's a life without hope. But we have hope. That doesn't mean we live this life. God has given us a life that we can enjoy and walk with. In the passage of Scripture that we saw just now, Paul starts talking about this. He says, your life is based on faith. Verse 6. It says, but the righteous of faith speaks in this way. The righteous of faith. Is that where you are based? I think you are. And we need to come back to it. As I shared in Sunday school as well, people have changed their value system. As I talk with people, it used to be to talk with them and share the gospel, and they've got this thing, or they're depending on this thing, or an education going on, or a car, or a house, or a position that they're going to give them. I talk with people now and say, how you doing? Well, we're all healthy. It's kind of changed aspect, you know? I always used to be praying just for my family. We're praying for my family, but we're praying for other people that are sick too. Because death is a reality. You know, we watch TV down there, and on the bottom of the screen, there's always running how many people have died, how many people are sick. It's kind of like they don't let you forget that. So it's something that's before us nowadays, and it's an opportunity. And those that live by faith, we got a great God. As many years as he gives us, it's great. It's exciting. And we can continue to share this and become involved. Second point I wanted to bring out in this passage of Scripture is in verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In times past, they had to go find a pastor, had to go find a church to go talk and find out about what God has to say to you. Had to open up the scrolls to kind of see. I enjoyed your aspect. You've got a Bible sitting down in front here. Remember years ago when I worked in southern Chile, we were working a campaign to put the gospel in every home of the country, and I had the opportunity to go share the Lord in Antarctica. And we got down there, and I found this base, Navy base, Chilean base, and it was isolated, and so isolated that people, before they went, if they had any aspect to maybe get an operation, they had to have it before they went. And at the end of the corridor was one of these little Gospels of John that we were putting throughout the country of Chile. And it was sitting there like a saint's corner, sitting in the corner. I thought to me, great, they valued it something important, but that isn't just there. Remember knocking on a door one time, and a man says, yes, I've got the Bible open beside my bed every day. I think that's great, but are you reading it? Is it something real in your life? Is it something that you just adore there, or do you open it? Because the Bible's not the door. It's the instruction book that we read. So Paul says the word is near you. It's in you. It's more than that. Have you memorized it? Have you planted it? Are you using it daily in your life? And that's exciting. It isn't a weekend thing. It's a thing of each day of living. So therefore, you got a book to come back on and have a base of life on. And that's become, doesn't matter if you're young or you're old and what you're going on. And God has been working that way. In Mexico, we've been trying to get people to get involved in reading the word. Many years ago, in the early, before the 60s, it was prohibited for a Roman Catholic to read the Bible on their own. 1964 in Vatican II, it was decided that you could read the Bible. But I still have a couple of people in my Bible study that they don't open up the Bible unless I'm right beside them to open up the Word of God, and I want them to read it. That's important. So as we learn to read the Word of God, it's an important thing that we do. Each one of us. So it says the word is with us. It's in us. It's something that we live daily. It's an instruction book that we take. And that's the best thing you can do. I have a challenge every Thursday morning at 6 in the morning. We get together a group of men and we're opening up the word of God and we're reading chapter by chapter and we're looking at each verse. Hopefully you do that in your home. Take time. One thing that COVID has made is it's forced to be at home. You know? Suddenly you're teaching on classes, on Zoom, you're talking with people there, you're in contact. And one way the world is more in contact than it's ever been before, but it's less close in some ways. But it's better than it used to be. I was thinking that the other day. What if this happened about 20 years ago? It would have been much more difficult. But things were moving to being online. And things are taking place online. Some people are kind of dragging their hands, and some of us because we fear of technology, but now you're forced to do it, and it's been good. But at the same time, don't forget the contact with people. And that's what's happening right now. So Paul says, basically, the word is in you. The word is beside you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's in your life. Are you convinced what you preach? Are you convinced? As we share the Lord, I know one young man came up to me the other day, and he says, Tim, he says, I've started to learn to trust God. Yeah, it's tough. Trust God. But a lot of us are trusting the money, trusting the things, trusting properties. Do we trust God? Do we need to have these things in the end? And I think this has brought this in. Young and old generations in which we are. I think one exciting thing is that God has permitted us to keep reaching the young. Mexico's young. The majority of Mexico's population is younger than 25 years of age. We're young people. I've had the privilege to work with a lot of young people getting involved. I think one thing the challenge is using what's in you, the word that's going on. Verse 3 says, it says, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. So as we, not verse 3, but it says, if one believes unto righteousness and with the mouth confession is made with salvation. Verse 10. Do we confess it? Do we believe it? As I was flying up on the airplane, I was able to share the Lord with the man beside me. He wasn't open to say the sinner's prayer yet, but he was open to the gospel. As we've been knocking doors and sharing the message of the gospel, we had young people in a missionary camp, as I was sharing down below. And for 5 days, they've been working, training, working their body with a discipline of physical exercise, running a track for about 20 minutes every time they get up at 7 in the morning. They've been working their brain with learning Bible verses. If you want to eat, you got to learn 3 verses. If you want to have lunch, you got to eat another 3 verses. If you eat supper, you got to have another 3 verses. Otherwise, you don't get food. But the trick is that you have 3 verses for breakfast, and for lunch, you got to remember those 3 plus the 3 for lunch. So there are 6. And by the end of the day, you've got to have 9 verses if you're going to eat supper. And they're working at it, and they're anxious to eat. And the other thing, it's a challenge, because the brain, some have never memorized more than 1 or 2 verses in their life. So suddenly I'm having them verse 9, 10, 11 verses at one time. But they can do it. When we're forced to do it, we can do it. When you're forced to share the Lord, you realize you have a lot more than somebody else has. And you can come beside a person and sit down and share the plan of salvation with them. It's exciting. So it says, it's in your mouth. Can you confess it? Confess with your mouth. Jesus as Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Wow. That's the message. The message. Let's not get it lost. Sharing down below that 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about using all means. God has used us in reaching in different means of sharing the Lord. We have schools. Figure that as a pastor, you got a kid 2 to 3 years, two hours a week. In school, you have them 5 hours a day. So if you have Christians sharing the Lord with others, their teachers, they're sharing basically through their subjects, they have a Christian perspective. That changes the way you're thinking things. It gives hope as well. You're close to share. So it's another avenue that God has permitted us to use. We're using sports around a soccer ball. Sharing down below that it's been kind of exciting because as we started the ministry using soccer, we realized there was a way to reach a lot of people on a common ground. You know, we kind of want to bring them into our world to share the Lord. No, there's common ground. There's a lot of places that you can share God with. And one of the exciting things took place this year as we were closing our tournament, which was basically our children's league was shut down for over a year because of COVID. We couldn't use the fields, couldn't organize sports. But as of March, we were able to start up again. And the referees asked me to pray before we started the game. I go, whoa, that's kind of exciting. So both teams were lined up, the formality going on, and we got in a circle and we prayed. The recognition that God's there. People have that. We have a natural instinct. God put it in us to look for Him every day, to look for God. It's part of the being that we have. People search in all other things until they find the Lord. They really realize that they have a spiritual need, and they start looking. Why is so much of that going on in the world now? As Christians, we can share. That's the thing we touch. And I found that in Mexico. It's very much. We confess with your mouth. Then verse 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" They ask me sometimes, "Are you a preacher?" Says, "No, I just share." "Are you a preacher?" "Well, are you sharing?" "You're a preacher. You're talking. You're sharing." Sometimes the best people, I had a lady in my church that, gosh, her teeth were falling out. You know, she really didn't take care of herself too well. She was always having problems. But you know, the one that was leading people to the Lord more than anything was her. So sometimes you say, "I don't have the gift." Well, got what you got. God gave it to you. Use it. Use it in all the areas of life in which you're at. Right now, a group of young people are sharing the Lord. Actually, just before I came up. And we're concerned about the COVID thing going on. We went to the camp. Nothing was happening. Came back from the camp. And all of a sudden, COVID started spraying out in Ometepec. We're the area of Mexico we live in, for those that don't know that, we're 120 miles basically southeast of Acapulco. If you look at Mexico, it's got a boot on it. We're kind of the heel of the boot, kind of where we live. But it's people that need Jesus. It doesn't matter where. And Paul talks about this in this passage. He says it's not Israel. People, God will take the message to other people, to other nations. We are all part of that. Thank you for letting us be on the point of it. But Kasilov is part of that. We're reaching other nations with the message of the gospel. It's changing hearts. It's changing minds. And now is a great time to share. Yes, we need to be careful. It's going on. We can't deny it. Just stick that funny stick up your nose and, you know, your eyes kind of almost water. And when chemist was telling me, he says, when I make a test to see if you have COVID or not, he says, I'm told I'm supposed to stick that up there. And when your eyes are starting to water, he says, I got it in the right spot. So I says, my eyes are watering. Please pull it back out. Yeah. But your eyes water with people for the Lord. You share the Lord. Are you involved? God wants us to be involved. Young and old. It's an exciting time to be in life right now. So therefore, it says believe. Okay, the need is there. We even see the need more today than we've ever seen in the past. People are realizing that the physical life is not everything. There's a lot more. And you can combine them. When you combine, you can praise the Lord in what you're doing, who you're around. Your attitude change and works. The synthesis comes in, and if you believe in your heart, the need, the COVID need, call upon Him and you will be saved. The need to respond is to believe. Are you responding? We're seeing that in Mexico right now. As we use different platforms to share the Lord, we're using schools, we're using soccer, we're using camps, we're using door-to-door aspect, we're using kids' daily vacation Bible school. We just got done with that, well, this week. And Barbara's sharing too, we're hoping that we're building a new little building. We're kind of, basically it's a basketball court almost. It's 20 meters long and 10 meters wide. So figure that by 3 feet more or less. What, 10 meters would be 30 feet wide and 20 by 3. It would be 60 feet long. It's a little longer than that because meters are a little longer than a yard. But you start thinking of that. These are places God has permitted us to come. Sometimes we say we don't have everything. And as we're laughing, I talked to the guy putting an arch roof on this, so I wanted to have the Daily Vacation Bible School there. That would be the end of July, and he was going to do it on Monday. That Monday started the end of May. I'm still waiting for which Monday it's going to happen. But we got the beams up, we got the posts up, we got the ground level. Maybe things aren't in the way you want them to be to share the Lord with others. Maybe things aren't the way you need to have it, but God is going to use that, and he's going to put it at that moment in that place. So Romans says, but the need is right there. People need to listen to Jesus. In southern Mexico, they're responding. It's been a few years planting the seeds, but they're responding. Had people that shared the Lord with them 5 years ago, and they're just starting to come close now. Dangers there, yes. One of our young pastors just came out of the hospital from COVID. He'd been in there for over a week, just with oxygen, not any more serious than that. I had it last year, in the month of July. Put me in bed for a little while. It does weaken you up. But it doesn't stop us. It even becomes the urgency of sharing more. So as we reach in the southern Mexico aspect of it, we're realizing that their needs are the same as our needs here. And Romans says, share the Lord. Become active. Believe. Respond. Faith is by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you believe in Jesus and you walk with him, you realize that God can do those changes in your life. Can you believe in him? Can you walk with him? So faith is by hearing. And verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, you have believed our reports. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Why? Because God is there. He's present. And one of the things that's come is the sovereignty of God amongst all situations. It's fun. As we see young people on screen, Barb teaches Zoom classes now. For over a year and a half, our secondary school has been involved, had shut down the physical building, and they've been teaching online. It's been kind of an interesting time because usually I get to bed a little later. She gets to bed earlier. She's up at 6:30 in the morning. Class starts at 7 in the morning, and now that it's in-house, I know I can kind of hear what's going on in the classroom all the time, right? So therefore, she's disciplining somebody and calling them up and working with them one thing, trying to work with them, because in discipline online, you ask a guy a question, you know, as a teacher, and suddenly he has internet problems, internet crashes, one thing or another. But then as the questions go by, he's back online. So you wonder, did he really have internet problems or not, you know? So we call up mom, and mom talks with them. But people are interested, and it was kind of interesting because we had a physical graduation this year of the secondary school, and how many people came up and said, thank you for putting up with my child and still teaching them, still teaching. We started a kindergarten 2 years ago because that's the objective now. Future will be put a primary school in the middle there. But a kindergarten school, and that's been very frustrating, because how long can you keep an attention of a 3 to 5-year-old on the screen? Not very long. So using games, that's got to include your mother and your the mother or the father involved in trying to have the kid work with it. And certain things have happened. You know, a lot of kids send, parents send their kids to kindergarten to give them a little bit of peace at home. Now they got more work instead of peace. But God is still providing opportunities to share with these parents. New things happening. We just have a, close to us, there's a Musquetown, it's an Indian town, they speak another language. And there's a clinic that has belonged to a presbytery for a few years, and the man who's running the clinic died of COVID in the month of March, the doctor. And so it's come back into our hands, and God has given us an opportunity to help it work again, but we're looking for the doctors to help in it and share in this clinic. We've had the, it was kind of a assignment type, he was to take care of it, so we've had to paint it and restore it, get it going. But right now we need your prayers for some doctors and personnel to come and help in this medical clinic. It's also a place to bring young people to enjoy things. It's got some land around and games and things of the community. Some people are afraid to go to an evangelical church. So if you have a neutral ground in the middle, just like we do the soccer fields, you have a place to reach out to. So this is a new thing starting as well. We've got schools, camps, church plants, and now this new clinic that God has put in our hands. And we're praying that God will continue to open up a radio station for the future. We are going on, Lord willing, by the month of December, we will be online with a online radio station, digital they call it. And Lord willing, on that will take off, because that's been a prayer for many years, to listen to the word through a radio station around the area. And then also the primary school, we've got to wait till COVID raises a little bit more. But we've got a piece of property that we bought for the junior and senior high school that the Lord will be working to build on it. And where that is right now, that will become the primary school. So there are plans. Expansion continues. The need of the gospel continues. And God is using us. And thank you for letting us be part of your team. Hopefully visit a little bit more. I think the time, I'm over time. So God work on it. Any other things we might need to pray and close? Or
maybe you should ask, does anybody have any questions?
Okay, anybody have any questions? Yes.
What is your perspective of all that immigrants trying to come across the border into the United States?
It's, I was seeing a report about that the other day. It's been a problem for over 70 years. And people's heart changes and things change, and it'll continue to be a problem. You know, you put a wall up, it comes around. You don't put a wall up, it'll still go around. Come through Canada, it's a problem. And right now, of course, Honduras, our country to the south, is one having the biggest problem, a lot of violence. What changes that is the gospel. People come to know the Lord, violence slows down. Well, we planted our church in an area of Ometepec. Before the church started, they just raped a woman in front. Now the whole community is changing. There's more people coming to know the Lord as we reach into this area community we're in right now, starting this other church. There's a lot of violence, a lot of problems, but things are starting to slow down because the gospel's starting to penetrate. And so that'd be my perspective, is they need to know Jesus. You know, things change. And both sides, you know. It's not going to be a political decision. It's going to be a heart decision. Any other questions? Need to keep praying. Our neighbors to the south need the Lord. We need the Lord. God needs us to share. Don't let your little light shine. We enter our missionary camp where I challenged 19 kids to get involved in missions. We give them each a candle. I've given them a project that they'll be working on for 1 week. Some will go into one community, for a team of four. So we had basically four teams set up. And part of it was that you light a candle and you say, I want to let my candle shine. And you lift it up, you don't hide it. And when you get a bunch of candles together, there's a lot of light. There's a lot of light. So as we penetrate the world in which we live, that candle of Jesus, that light of the Lord, change things, change lives. It's slow. It doesn't move at the pace we want it to be. I was reading a devotional today about that as well, saying that, you know, we need to pray, God, your will, not my will. Your time, not my time. But I'm working. I'm not staying quiet. Any other? Barb, you want to share something? can ask afterwards, too. This is going to be a potluck afterwards. We call that a bring service, a traje. Yes.